I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World on a Monday. Good to have you with us. The State Department has announced a plan to counter Russian election meddling in the U.S. midterms later this year. Congress ordered such a scheme last summer, and no doubt we'll be hearing more about the $40 million that's been allocated to the plan and what might actually be done to stop more Russian trolling before next November. But right now, a different take from a different time inside Russia. This turned out to be a pivotal moment for Russia's opposition. In late 2011 and 2012, tens of thousands of Russians took to the streets, fired up about election fraud and calling for clean government. Author Michael Idov was on the ground in Moscow then. Those protests feature prominently in his new book, Dressed Up for a Riot, Misadventures in Putin's Moscow. Idov says that at the time, the Kremlin came up with a simple explanation for the protests.
The answer, of course, was Hillary Clinton, then Secretary of State, must be fomenting disarray and confusion. And the problem with that is that, of course, the United States and the State Department and the CIA have, in fact, over the course of history, been instrumental in regime change. And so Putin, with his, you know, KGB mindset that suggests to him that there are only two powers in the world, Russia and the U.S., jostling for influence, he basically sees the entirety of the 90s as the U.S. grabbing more influence over Eastern Europe. So in his mind, even as extreme as, grabbing Crimea, they are seen as tit for tat. In his mind, the Ukrainian revolutions, both of 2004, the Orange Revolution, and of 2014, were directly inspired, if not directed, by the State Department. And it's very hard to argue with that. And actually, you know what didn't help? Also, people like Victoria Nuland and John McCain, who would go to Kiev and kind of showboat, egging on the protesters. It's funny because this is kind of a benevolent enthusiasm that America tends to have for freedom movements all over the world, which is often seen from another point of view as a malevolent meddling. So this is something that provides a kind of moral justification for Russia to meddle in American elections.
Well, let's go back to 2012. I want to hear from you what that actually felt like, because you write in your book, all of a sudden, Moscow teamed with post-grad do-gooders, each and every one in the twinkly-eyed, what do you need? How can we help mode, the mode the rest of the world mistakes for malicious meddling, and that, in fact, is a kind of adolescent excitability mixed in with unconscious condescension. I love that description, but tell us what that Western do-gooder attitude actually looked like on the ground in Russia.
I've never felt myself to be part of the Russian, you know, freedom movement. I thought of myself as a sympathetic American observer, but then all these people that I ran into, they saw me as this, you know, oh, he's a progressive Russian editor, you know, a brave little freedom fighter. And it was funny to feel condescended to and patronized in that sense. And then kind of thinking, oh, so that's how the Russians actually feel. Wow. I mean, we Americans do talk down to them, because once they saw me, you know, in the context as a Russian magazine editor, it was literally like, oh, aren't you cute? How can we help you fight the bloody regime? And then, of course, the more you talk to these people, the more you realize that they don't have the fact. You're on the ground, and it's everything is much more nuanced than they think. So, yeah, it was very educational for me.
Was U.S. meddling in Russia in 2012 really that innocent?
In 2012 specifically, I would say yes. I mean, again, there was an excitement about things finally sort of shifting after so many years of political apathy. And there was a dash of hope that these middle-class protest movements would force the Kremlin to liberalize. And Putin came back and promptly began sort of closing down all avenues for protest.
Yeah, I mean, this seems to be a lot on your mind. I mean, the final pages of your book, you conclude that Russia has suddenly gotten what it's wanted, the fear and the grudging respect. The West is finally as obsessed with Russia has always imagined it was. Do you recognize the Russia you've been seeing in American characterizations of Russia and Russians over the past year?
Sometimes, because some of it is based, some fantastic journalism has been done unraveling sort of this influence operation that that Russia has been trying to put together in order to kind of export its cynical vision of the world. On the other hand, of course, I don't recognize Russia whenever it's depicted in the West as a ruthlessly competent place, a place run by cynical technocrats who have gamed out every move 10 moves in advance, because that's just not true. You know, the Russian disinformation and influence efforts have always been haphazard and largely inept. It's just that they got incredibly lucky because their guy won. But, you know, in France, for example, the Russian bots and all these networks that we are supposed to be afraid of, they backed every candidate except Macron. Sometimes some of the reactions border on racism. Just today, actually, I saw a jokey tweet from somebody I respect a lot, you know, Jennifer Palmieri, the, you know, White House communications director under Obama. And her sort of joke tweet was that, you know, I'm in the San Francisco airport and I just got into a gypsy cab, it's unmarked, and it's driven by a Russian. So in case I disappear, it's a tan Lincoln Continental. And it's
going
it's
back
funny,
to the Boris and Natasha kind of thing.
Right, exactly. It's very strange to sort of feel that way, but that is actually racism, casual and jokey, but it is racism. And I wish we were able to acknowledge the facts of the Kremlin's sort of malevolent intent without making the conversation into some sort of a Cold War thing about godless communists or just generally caricaturing the other side. That would be nice.
Michael Idov is the author of Dressed Up for a Riot, Misadventures in Putin's Moscow. Thanks very much for being with us, Michael.
Thank you.
We'll have more of our interview with Michael Idov later this week about his editing GQ Russia and writing TV dramas there. Fascinating guy.